Hello, listeners. Before we get started in today's episode, we want to know how you first heard about the podcast by taking a super short quiz. It will only take a minute and will really help us reach new listeners like you. You can go to worthy.com/quiz and you will be entered to win a $100 Visa gift card. Submissions must be received by May 31st, 2024 in order to qualify. We really appreciate your feedback. And now, on to the episode. Welcome to Wise and Worthy, a branded podcast from Worthy, dedicated to celebrating people like you as you navigate separation, divorce, and everything that comes after. I'm your host, Karen McMahon. Did you know that your unused bridal set, luxury watch, or other jewelry could be a hidden financial asset that helps you with that fresh start? But where do you begin? That's where Worthy comes in. Worthy offers a seamless solution by partnering with you to help sell your jewelry. Worthy takes care of everything from insurance coverage to secure shipping, professional grading, and more. Visit worthy.com/wise to learn more. Welcome to another episode of Wise and Worthy. I'm your host, Karen McMahon, founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. And today's episode is about nurturing the soul, self-love practices for divorce healing. And with me today is Sanaya Gurnewal. So divorce challenges us deeply, right? It's shaking the very foundation of who we are, and yet it also presents a unique opportunity for profound self-discovery and growth through self-love. Embracing self-compassion allows us to navigate the grieving process with kindness, acknowledging our pain while also recognizing our inner strength and worth. This journey of self-love not only facilitates healing, but empowers us to rebuild a life filled with joy and fulfillment beyond the shadows of our past relationship. As we learn to nurture our souls with love and understanding, we set the stage for a transformative healing process. And that's really what we're going to dive into today. Self-love teaches us to forgive, to let go of our guilt, to move forward with grace. It involves cultivating practices that support our well-being, setting healthy boundaries, and celebrating our progress. This path leads us out of the depths of post-divorce despair and into the bright future where we're not just surviving, but thriving, fully open to the new possibilities that life has to offer. Now, before we dive in, I have a very special guest, a friend of mine, Sanaya Gurnewal, and she is a Theta Healing Master Practitioner, certified Mind Valley coach, and certified clinical hypnotherapist. Sanaya believes that the most important relationship you will ever have is the one you have with yourself, becoming the blueprint for how others will love you. And she's on a mission to empower women to activate the power of self-love and create a love-centered life. I love that. Sanaya is the visionary behind the Magnetize system, which is a three-step process for releasing the past, accepting the present, and creating the future you desire. Dedicated to helping individuals find their happily ever after, Sanaya is the host of Project Loving Myself, a Spotify top 50 and number one trending podcast in her region, featuring A-list celebrities, thought leaders, and well-being experts. I am so excited about today's conversation. Welcome, Sanaya.
Thank you, Karen. I am so excited to be here with you. And I know we're going to have a great conversation, as we always do.
Yeah. And, you know, before we dive into, you know, our audience and their struggles with divorce, can you just share how this concept of self-love became so central for the work that you do?
Absolutely. So I draw, you know, a lot of what I do from my own experiences, especially as I started to notice that the people that I attract, people that I work with, always seem to be stuck in this one area. I found that whenever we keep encountering challenges in our life, it's usually because we aren't loving ourselves enough. And if we did, then we would behave very differently, leading to very, you know, completely different outcomes in our life. Now, in my own experience, you could have this amazing life on the outside. Everyone might think you have it all put together. You know, you could be a confident person with, you know, a huge network or plenty of friends, and inside you could feel completely different. So we have, you know, we have topics like imposter syndrome, or people feeling like, you know, they're just not in alignment or in integrity with who they are. So they feel one way, but they project a completely different self to other people. And this disconnect often leads to things like depression, anxiety, a sense of, you know, confusion, not knowing what to do next in your life, and often creates behavior patterns and situations where you really feel stuck. And all of this comes right down to not being able to connect with yourself, not loving yourself enough, and not really understanding or knowing who you truly are. And so my own journey was about discovering that, unpacking that, and getting to a point where I really stepped into my true power when I learned to love myself. And so now I dedicate my life to working with people on this very area.
You know, as you're speaking, the thing that comes to mind is we so often hear about the inner critic, and it's almost as if, well, self-love is the antithesis of the inner critic in many ways. And certainly going through divorce, whether you've decided to leave or your spouse has decided to leave you, this is a place where that inner critic can be amplified and really slay an individual. So I think this is such an important conversation to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you talk about self-love, the other thing that came to mind as you were talking is so many people, because the marriage has been falling apart over a period of time and you're used to partners, everyone wants to go out and start dating. And as you were talking, I was thinking, well, wow, it seems like maybe dating oneself is the first step. So can you talk a little bit about that relationship with yourself?
Yeah, and that's actually what I do tell people, that after they've been through a breakup or they've been through a very difficult situation or time period in their life, it's time to go inward. It's time to understand who you are. It's time to date yourself. And, you know, what are the things that you love to do? We often talk about love languages in relationships with other people. And I always, you know, I always direct my clients and students, well, what is your love language and how can you show love to yourself through that particular language that you like to receive love in? And so if you're someone who really values quality time, then how can you spend more quality time with yourself? If you are someone who likes receiving gifts, you know, what do you need to give yourself? What are the gifts you need to buy yourself? And so that period where you can discover who you are and date yourself is so important before you go out and date another person, especially because you'll always attract someone who is, you know, your energetic equivalent or your, you know, someone who's on your vibration, I like to say. So if you know yourself better, you will attract a partner who will actually love you better because of your own connection with yourself, the confidence that you gain from self-love, the self-worth that comes with that.
I love the idea of using the love language on oneself. And what's funny is I know that so often people know their love language and then they give it to the other person, even though that might not be their partner's love language. But here it's like, if you know your love language and you shower yourself with what that is, I've never heard that before. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. And I always say from that actually, Karen, that instead of seeking things from other people to make you feel complete, what if you could just give that to yourself? right? So if you're seeking love from other people, what if you could give yourself that love that you seek from other people and out there, and they are going to disappoint you. So what if you could just give it to yourself first? And then anything anyone else gives you is just a bonus.
What are some of the blocks and struggles that come up when you talk to people about loving themselves? Like, what's that resistance that a lot of people face?
Well, most of us have been raised to think about other people, to prioritize other people's needs. And in fact, we've been taught that, you know, the more giving you are, the more loving you are of other people, right? The more you listen to what other people ask of you, the more successful you'll be in getting their approval or love or whatever it is that you're seeking from them, right? If you're a better employee, you're likely to get promoted. So it's always about what we need to do for other people to get something back in return. And very few of us have been raised to focus on ourselves and to prioritize ourselves and love ourselves first. And so we don't know how to do that. That is something that is entirely new for a lot of people. And especially if we're talking about, you know, women who are struggling with a relationship that they are getting over, they're trying to move on from, divorce. You know, a lot of times you have other responsibilities. You might have children, or you might have other things that take up your time and energy. And so you're so used to directing your focus to these other things, it leaves very little time or energy to focus on yourself. And I do truly believe that if you focus on yourself first and you make sure, you know, like on an airplane, if you strap yourself in first, then you can actually help the person sitting next to you, whether it's your child or even a stranger. So you really have to take care of yourself first before you have anything to give anyone else. And so it goes back also to a story from Buddhism, which is you have to fill your cup first before you have anything to pour, you know, or to give anyone else. And so this is sort of like timeless wisdom that we have, you know, we have forgotten or we neglect to put into practice, even though it sounds good. And so this is something that I do work with people.
And, you know, one of the things I've noticed with my clients is, especially when they've been that caretaking or codependent type individual, they feel painfully selfish focusing on themselves. Yeah. It's almost like they're going from selfless to self-loving, but they feel like they're going from selfless to selfish. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's actually two things to that, Karen, in my experience. First of all, a lot of times someone like that has grown up without really receiving love from family members or whoever was their caretaker. They've been deprived of love. And so when you feel deprived of something, you actually overcompensate, or I like to say overcorrect, by, you know, putting too much of emphasis on the self and not in the right way. So you're coming from a lack, you're coming from a state of feeling deprived, or I don't have enough. And so you overcompensate. And so this is more negative behavior. And then you might come across as selfish to other people and even to yourself. So when I'm talking about it from this aspect, it's really behavior that to other people feels selfish, and even to yourself may feel like, you know, you might feel I am being selfish. But the kind of self-love that I'm talking about is healthy. It is the kind of self-love where you have proper boundaries with people, you know, and you communicate these boundaries in a very loving way, because your goal is not to push other people away or to hurt other people, but to take care of yourself. So it's coming from a very different energy, a different space. And that comes across to other people as something that is admirable, something that is necessary, something they understand. So it doesn't come out through any kind of negative behavior tendencies, which is, you know, where deprived kind of feelings or deprived behavior comes from.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because when I went from being codependent to starting to take care of myself, my little self-love journey, I realized that I trained everyone, my ex-husband and my young children, to expect me to be selfless, to give and give and give and give. And I do come from that also kind of abandonment lack in my childhood. And so for me, one of the things that was really interesting, Sanaya, is I had to realize that it makes sense that they see me as selfish. It wasn't so much in how I communicated. It was that I had built this expectation up and that it actually had to shift. And I had to suffer through, for me as a codependent, it was excruciating to imagine that loved ones would see me as selfish. And yet I had to stand my ground for me, and to also retrain them that it's a good thing for mom to have time to herself. It's a good thing for me to be taken care. And so I think there's with that kind of family of origin, that there's all of these underlying beliefs that can get you stuck that you really need to face when you're on this self-love journey. That was my experience.
Moving past divorce is hard enough without your old engagement ring staring you in the eye every time you open your jewelry box. With Worthy, you have a selling partner you can trust to get the most, who takes the stress out of selling. For a limited time, Wise and Worthy listeners get an extra $100 when your item sells for over $1,500. Just go to worthy.com/wise to get started. We're ready when you are. Divorce is like a foreign land filled with unfamiliar rules and jargon, and pressure to make complex decisions that will impact the rest of your life. Don't go it alone. Go to rapidreliefcall.com and get the support and guidance you need.
Say another thing, Karen, which is how you love yourself is how you teach other people to love you. And so for all that time that you were selflessly giving to other people, that's how you taught them to love you too. That when you selflessly give to them, they will love you. And so when you start to focus on yourself and you're not able to give them all your time, right, then they start to feel unloved or they start to feel unimportant to you, which is probably why you got a little bit of that pushback or that kind of, you know, negative maybe feedback from them. And that's because they didn't know any other way to love you. It was always for your selflessness. And as you taught them to that I need space and I need to love myself, there's probably going to have been a transition period where they started to learn that you were shifting and changing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And my kids are now in their mid to late 20s. And it's just beautiful because they encourage me not to work too much, to go on vacations, to take care of myself. Like they're so beautifully centered both for themselves and for me in that self-love. But I think that your point is such a good one, that how I loved myself or maybe didn't, right? Because I ended up in a pretty high conflict marriage, that was all manifested from like my own unworthiness and inner critic. And can you talk a little bit about like all of that undertow that is going on for people?
Yes, for sure. So I've discovered through all my work with the women that I've been doing, you know, coaching and healing with over the last 15 years, that the people outside of us mirror the relationship that we have with ourselves. So if I'm always criticizing myself, if I have low self-esteem, low self-worth, if I never prioritize my own needs, then that's exactly the kind of behavior that I am going to attract and receive from people around me. Because again, how you love yourself is how others love you, how you teach them to love you. And so our relationship with ourselves is the foundation, the blueprint, I said, for every other relationship in our life. And the more we, you know, neglect our own selves, the more we criticize ourselves, the more we receive this kind of negative behavior from the people around us. And again, the more we love ourselves, the more we believe in ourselves, the more likely we are to command respect from other people. And that, you know, that works for pretty much every relationship in your life, not just the one with your spouse or your ex or your children. And I've seen this actually happen, that as I work with my clients on developing, you know, self-love, learning how to practice their love language with themselves, and also working on, you know, perhaps trauma, baggage, choices that they have seen in the past as mistakes, working on these different aspects of why they can't love themselves. Because we always have some kind of a reason for why we criticize ourselves or we can't love ourselves enough. There's usually judgment for things that we have done or have not done enough of in the past. And so learning to forgive ourselves, learning to accept ourselves, learning to embrace who we are, all of who we are, and knowing that we are enough just as we are, while allowing ourselves to continuously evolve and improve and develop and grow as an individual, and recognizing that every challenge in our life is an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to learn something from this very difficult situation that ultimately is going to contribute to the person that I will become after I get through this situation. And always recognizing that, you know, what I'm doing or how I'm responding is based on that situation. It doesn't define who I am today. And these are all aspects of self-love.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's so interesting as you're saying that is most clients that I work with, as they emerge from the divorce, they begin to realize, right? So they're a more refined and healed version of themselves. And they begin to realize, I don't want to work for that boss. That boss doesn't treat me well or respect me, or I have to drop that friend. I was holding on to them, but it doesn't fit anymore. And so I think that that's part of what you're saying is, as we grow in self-love, we'll be attracting something healthier. And there may be individuals that we also need to let go that we had manifested from that self-critic perspective.
For sure. And, you know, a great place to start is to look at, you know, the person you are divorcing. What are the qualities and traits in them that might be showing up in other areas of your life? You know, do you have friends who have similar behavior tendencies with you? Do you have a boss who treats you the same way that your spouse did? And you'll notice that there are patterns. Yep. You know, when you connect all the dots together, you'll realize, oh, wait a minute, I've actually experienced this before. It's not just with my partner. This is something that I've seen repeatedly with people in my life. And as you start to gain self-love, you gain more clarity on the type of people you've been attracting. And you'll probably find when you do that inner work that this is something you've seen probably in your childhood with a parent. You might have seen it with a relationship with one of your parents, or in a relationship that your parents had with each other. And so most of this is learned behavior from our own experiences. And we tend to become very comfortable with this kind of negative relationship patterns. And then we draw it into our life with our partner and even the other people that we interact with in our life.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So let's pivot to solution. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to let everyone know how they can find you. So you have this magnetize system, a 3-step process for releasing the past, accepting the present, and creating a future you desire. And I'm assuming that's all wrapped up in self-love. Can you give our listeners a sense of that process? And then you can tell them how they can find you.
Beautiful. So the first place that I start when I start working with someone, I'm in a coaching session, is trying to connect the dots of what's happening in their life right now and where it started, because there's always a root cause. And so the work I do focuses on going back to where everything started. Where did these patterns first get created? How did they emerge? And often that leads to inner child work, mother, father wounds. So I really go back into the patterns in terms of where they originated from and how they led up or they contributed to the situations you've created in your adult life. And this requires a lot of healing, a lot of letting go, forgiveness, building compassion into the situation, and really giving you perspective on why certain things might be happening in your life today. And it's a very empowering solution because it gives you kind of the control back in your life and also gives you responsibility and accountability for what is going on in your life. And that makes you feel like, wait a minute, if I in some way might have contributed to this situation, that means I can change and shift, and that will also change my experiences. And when my clients realize that they actually do have control over their situations, and they simply have to recognize this and they have to understand why things are happening, they behave differently, which comes naturally after the healing process. And the circumstances in their life shift out almost immediately. And I know, Karen, you and I have worked together. Maybe you can share a little bit about your experience as well and how healing the past, letting go of that baggage that you're carrying, can have this almost miraculous influence or outcome in your life.
Yeah. So very recently, Sanaya and I had a theta healing session, which is, you know, a secret sauce of hers. That is that I would say that the results feel quite miraculous to me. And so I was raised with a somewhat critical mom and a lot of judgment in the house. And it's been dogging me. I'm running my own business. I love my life. I'm doing everything well. But if I didn't put in enough hours, if something went wrong, like there was always this, you're a bad girl, like moldy blanket dread that would come over me. And it would really keep me from being my best in all areas of my life. And we had a 1 hour session and went back and looked at all of this stuff and, you know, went through this process that Sanaya does. And that, what was that, a week and a half ago, Sanaya?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just told her before we started recording, I have been looking for it. I have been paying attention to it. It typically will come Friday night. It comes over the weekend, like when I'm actually relaxing and just having a life, it comes, bad girl, you should be doing something. And I have not been able to feel 5% of that really yucky feeling. And I've been really consciously paying attention, like, where is it? Expecting that, of course, it's going to be there. I'm 62 years old. It's been there most of my life. And it is completely gone. I am like floored.
Yeah. And that's really what healing is about, right? So Karen and I worked to go back again to the memory where it all started, where she felt like a bad girl. And that feeling became her program, something that was constantly running behind the scenes, because that's the message she received as a child, right? And so Karen, you know, it's something that, you know, every time you aren't doing enough, you would reconnect with that. You're a bad girl. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. And so working with you in that 60-minute session was all about going back to those memories and then removing all the shame, removing all those negative feelings that you first experienced almost at the height of it. And then something that got reinforced over time for you. And I helped you essentially trade out that program, that negative program, for a feeling of actual worthiness, a feeling of being enough, a feeling of, you know, no longer feeling like that bad girl, which is something that you have been carrying for a very long time. And that's a process, that's part of the process of letting go. I use Theta Healing because I found it to be one of the most quickest, effective, and I would say robust healing methods that allows me to really remove these kinds of negative programs or beliefs that seem to be getting in my clients' way of truly loving themselves and experiencing the kind of happiness that they deserve. So I usually work, I blend Theta Healing with coaching in order to do that. Now, that would be the first step of any kind of coaching or healing package that I do with my clients. And it's a real focus on getting all that stuff out, all the baggage out. And when you let that all go, you finally create the space to love and accept yourself for who you are, for all that you are, recognizing I can be a masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time. And yeah, when and you start...
I want to jump in here, Sanaya, because I think that like... I've done so many different healing modalities, and this was incredibly quick, and I am confident and I love what I do. And so there's so much positive, and yet it was like there was this anchor on me, holding me back and pulling me down. And so I just want to confirm everything that you're saying, that, you know, for you listeners, as you're navigating your divorce, I think the best way I could say it is this belief, bad girl belief, was so not aligned with me and what I think about myself, like on a conscious level. I was so not aligned with that, and having it gone enables me to catapult forward. And I can only imagine with the work that you're doing with people, Sanaya, that would be... It would be so uplifting to have that as a front piece of the work that you do.
Thank you so much, Karen. And that's what it is, you know, Karen. It's like a lot of times, most of the time, I would say, we have these conflicting, you know, beliefs about ourselves. Like, I am confident, but I am also a bad girl at the same time. Or, you know, I am kind and generous, but I'm also not good enough. And so my role is to help you remove everything that is not working for you. My goal is to remove the programs, the beliefs, the feelings that are toxic to you, that are getting in your own way of whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you want to create in your life, whatever it is that you want to attract. And without being able to release all of this, it's very hard to get what you want. It's very hard to create the success that you desire or bring in the love, because you are essentially working against yourself with all the things you're holding on to from the past, which you may not be. I mean, in most cases, you may not even be aware of it. You may not even be doing this, you know, intentionally. It's just things that we have carried, and they are stored in our subconscious mind. So we aren't really aware that this is what's going on all the time. In your case, you were very aware, because as a coach yourself, you know, you could see your own patterns. You could see, you know, how there were parts of you that were not, you know, that weren't working for you. But I always do tell people that one of the best ways to see if you have work to do on yourself, if you need some healing and some coaching, is to see whether your life is exactly what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. You know, is your life where you would love it to be? Are you in the right relationship? Are you in the right job? Do you feel good about yourself? You know, how healthy is your life? And if there are areas where you feel that, you know, this is where I'm stuck, or this is what I would like to have, but I don't have this, then that's the time that you need to actually work on what is getting in your way. And that is where I come in to help my clients with that.
And I don't want you to give the whole program away, but if you could share a little bit about that final phase of creating the future you desire, so that people know what they're, when they reach out to you, they know a little bit more about what that is.
Yes. So when people come to work with me, the first thing we do is we set up, you know, what are the goals? What do I actually want to achieve? And then we go back and find all the things that are getting in the way. We release that and build in the self-love, build in the self-acceptance, which gives them a lot of manifesting power. It opens up all the space, and it really raises your vibration. And it becomes very easy for me to actually help you create that, manifest that, and create the situations and circumstances in your life that will lead you to that particular goal. There are a couple of different things involved in that, but one is having a lot of clarity about exactly what you want and what that would look like. There is the attachment and detachment component, because when we're attached to something, we come from a space of lack or need. And I really work with my parents to go, or my clients to go from attachment to detachment. And finally, I actually work with them to do the manifestation of whatever it is that they desire. And that could be a relationship. That could be, something in their career that they aspire towards. It could be success in any area of their life. And I help them to get there.
Yeah, it just sounds like a beautiful program, Sanaya. Would you take a few minutes to tell everyone the best way to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So you can check out my website, and that's sanayagurnamal.com. I'm sure, Karen, you will tag it in your show notes. And so you can go there and you can see all the different programs that I offer. I also offer coaching programs, life coaching in particular, where I help people with whatever challenge that they are going through. And I help them to reach that goal through this process that I have described. And I also have a gift for your audience, if you'll allow me to share that with them.
Absolutely.
So I have a program called Relationship Detox. It is a paid program, but I'm happy to give it as a gift to your listeners. It's a 5-step process of letting go of a relationship in your past. And it takes you through the steps to get that closure, to release some of those negative feelings that you've been carrying and replace it with positive things like gratitude and forgiveness. And it's a great way to see how you can actually go through these steps from, you know, being stuck in a particular relationship or area to actually letting it go. And this will give you a lot of empowerment and confidence that letting go isn't as hard as we sometimes make it out to be. And of course, if you're going through a divorce, it can be a huge, huge challenge in your life. But even if you can let go of one part of that, that might open up more room in your life to love yourself, because loving yourself to me is a huge part of healing and moving on. So the link to that is bit.ly/relationship detox now. And again, Karen, I know you'll tag that.
Absolutely. That's in the show notes for you folks to grab. So Sanaya, I love what you do. Your theta healing is absolutely miraculous. And for those of you tuning in, if this is speaking to you, if this is an area that you struggle with, if you're stuck and you really want to live your best next chapter, reach out to Sanaya, learn a little bit more about what she does. It may be exactly what you're looking for. And Sanaya, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you for being such a great host. I really appreciate you.
You're very welcome. And we'll be back again real soon with another episode of Wise and Worthy. Until then, you take care.
Thanks for listening to Wise and Worthy. Don't forget to visit worthy.com/wise to earn an extra $100 when your item sells for over $1,500. If you have questions about an episode, compliments you'd like to share, or would like to be a guest, please email us at podcast@worthy.com. Follow the podcast at We Are So Worthy on Instagram, and check out Worthy on Facebook. You can find more information about today's episode and guest at worthy.com/podcast. I'm your host, Karen McMahon. You can learn more about me at jbddivorcesupport.com. Huge thank yous to Worthy's production team and our sound editor, Tack Van Sickle. Listen, follow, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you like to listen. Our next episode will be live in 2 weeks, so stay tuned.